Today's program is brought to you by Michter's Distillery. Visit Michter's.com to find out how their taste is everything, cost be damned attitude is creating some of the finest whiskeys available.
I'm Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte, and it is a beautiful day here in Brooklyn, New York, and I'm really glad to be inside with some air conditioning. I just got to say that real quick, because it's actually summer now, but it was a long winter, and I'm happy to see it anyway. We have some refreshing drinks in front of us, and by us, I'm talking with Greg Sider, proprietor of the Summit Bar in New York City, and the new Cricket Club.
Manhattan Cricket Club.
Yeah, and just actually author of the new book that just came out, Alchemy in a Glass, which has been out for about, what, a month? Or
a month. At a month.
Cool, yeah. I mean, this is awesome. I actually just now got to crack it open and look at it, but it's got a ton of recipes in it, man. It's like, it's chock full of information.
Yeah, it's got some secrets in there, too.
Yeah, nice. So what was your inspiration for this book, man?
I mean, it kind of came from, you know, all the exposure I have, like, with chefs and my whole kind of, I, like, just really inspired from, like, cooking and being in the kitchen and then converting that into
taking
an alcoholic. So, like, you know, Jean George and Eric Repair and Jeffrey Zarkarian and some of my other, like, really close friends, like, just cook up, like, masterpieces and, you know, I just get all this different exposure to, like, these insane ingredients. You know, especially when I was at Le Bernardin, they're like, whatever you want. And I was like, all right, give me this, give me that, give me the kaffir lime powder, give me the green Szechuan peppercorn. So, you know, it really, like, helps me add, you know, the layers to the drinks from getting those exposure, those ingredients.
Yeah, so, it's nice to have an unlimited spice cabinet.
It is. The spice cabinet is key.
Yeah. And it's also nice to have, like, kind of an unlimited budget to even be able to do that.
Yeah, that's a nice little perk. But yeah, the book was, like, kind of started with, you know, the Summit Bar, kind of making all those kind of cult cocktails and all the creativity that went into, like, the name, which is actually sometimes harder to come up with than the drink.
Yeah, I mean, I always try to get the name first and then make the drink afterward.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to come up with ingredients and a recipe for a cocktail name than it is to name a cocktail afterwards.
Yeah, like sometimes I'm like, the drink won't go on the menu. I'm like, I just can't get the name right. I just can't get it right.
You guys definitely have a certain style at Summit Bar. I mean, I remember you guys first opened like 5 years ago, and I remember going there. Christian Sonner's working there, and like he's a buddy of mine, so I was like, I went to see him, and like, I just remember somewhere between, like, it's not necessarily West Coast style, but it definitely is like you said, it's kitchen oriented. Like, there's a lot of thought coming from the kitchen rather than the garden, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I mean, I get a lot of inspiration from, like, traveling, so, like, teas and spices, mm-hmm. more, I mean, I like herbs as well, obviously, but I try to stay away from the muddling and, like, mm-hmm. that kind of, I mean, just gets a little messy. So I have some, like, great friends, like my friend Roderick, a rare tea seller, blends me, like, these incredible teas, but I'll get, like, a dried strawberry or peach blossom, so I'll get the fruit. Right. Aspect to it without having to deal with the fruit.
Yeah.
And then, like, the spices from, like, SOS Chef or Lior.
Yeah, I was going to say SOS. It's, like, right there.
Yeah.
It's a block away from you, right?
Those guys are awesome. And then just, like, here, try this. And I'm just like, let me do something with tonka beans or this crazy,
crazy hydrosol.
Toasted acacia, like, you know, powder. And it's, like, gives this whole nutty kind of popcorn effect. And it's, like, it adds all those layers of the drinks. And I just have to source out the badass ingredient. So.
Yeah.
Kind of put the work into the sourcing, so the drink, even though it has multiple layers, is really only like four ingredients.
Yeah, I think that's key, man. you know, especially when you said teas, I mean, like, there's so many awesome, like, tea blends out there where you can just, like, I mean, you can basically just put the tea in with a spirit and you're done.
Man. You're done.
Yeah, I love that. And especially, like, if you do, like, an infused, like, I love doing tea infused vermouth. I mean, I always have a bottle of tea infused vermouth at home. I mean, not always at the bar, but at home.
It's like your flashlight. If the lights go off, you need your tea infused vermouth for emergencies.
And it goes with everything, or just by itself. But it's great going to, like, SOS or, like, Halluciens and, like, grabbing, like, some of these crazy, like, teas and seeing what can happen with them, you know? It's such a cool... Like, I don't do a lot of infusions, but I definitely like the tea infusions because it makes sense. You're steeping them, you know? You're steeping the tea, but you cut out the water element.
Yeah. Yeah,
because I don't really drink water.
Nah. But I'm saying you can, you do the infusion, you infuse the agave, or you do, like, an atomized... Or you make a tincture, you make it in the spirit, so you can make that flavor profile come out in different points in the cocktail, just on where you want to tuck the infusion into. But it's a great step because you're like, all right, that's just a great sourcing product. Mm-hmm. And then, like you said, like then the cocktail has all these amazing layers, but you are kind of almost simplifying the process by just picking super, super amazing.
Yeah. One of my main bartenders, Garrett Richard, he has a cocktail on our menu at Prime Meats right now. He found this fennel tea, so he's doing a fennel tea infused gin with, like, it's kind of his, like, take on, like, an apple martini. So he's got, like, apple cider vinegar, this fennel tea, some apple eau de vie and honey, and it's like, so it's four ingredients, but it's like just that found that crazy weird fennel tea, and it's like it totally kills it, you know.
Yeah, it's like you're super. It's like your magic hot sauce. You just, like, boom, and it's like it fixes everything. So same thing with, like, you know, spices too. It's like, you know, you can get Vietnamese cinnamon instead of just regular cinnamon, and it's like that whole kind of, like, not such a barky. It gives it a more, like, rounder candy flavor, and it's just, like, you know, it's a totally different profile than just cinnamon.
That's one thing. It's like. I think it's very interesting about where we've gotten to, like, with the bar. I mean, I like using smoked sea salts for, like, you know, my go-to is smoked sea salt and Aleppo pepper. I put that on everything. That's my secret hot sauce. You know, like, I sprinkle it on everything. I'll put it on my Cheerios in the morning. But that's not true. I don't eat breakfast. but you get what I'm saying. But, like, then when you get into that world, like, just when you see, like, a cocktail recipe with a salted rim, it's like, well, it used to mean just, like,
some kosher at best.
Yeah, exactly. And now we're at the point where it's like we have access to, like, you know, you've got 100 different salts you can go for. I remember when I first moved to New York and I started working at my first bar job, I was open up to the world of sugar, of, like, different sugars, like different, like, Japanese, like, Kuromitsu sugars and different types of cane sugar, like demeraras and turbinados and things, like, you know, like it was kind of like, it was a very important, like, big lesson for me. Like, one of the first things that really kind of, like, caught my eye when I moved here. And started getting more heavily into, like, the cocktail world. And it's like, wait a minute, okay, so we can't just, it's not just sugar and water and bitters and spirit, you know, it's like, well, shit, what's the water? Where's the water from? What kind of bitters? What kind of spirit? Is it the 12-year Highland Park, or is it the 15, or is it the 18? You know, like, it's, we have so many options, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Like, for ways to, like, which is it Spanish paprika? Is it Hungarian? You know, like,
paprika? Keep going and going and going. Like an old fashioned, I could sit on next, like, 15 years and keep tweaking that mother, you know?
Yeah.
It's like that much dilution, that smoked cinnamon bitters, this aromatic bitters, that rye works with that aromatic bitters and doesn't work.
I mean, or this combination of rye and bourbon, you know? Like, I mean, Robert Simonson's book that just came out, like, if you, months back, I guess it was.
Yeah, it's about the same time. You know, mine came out.
Yeah, I guess it was. It wasn't that long ago. I'm getting old, but you know, he has a book just about the old fashioned and all the variations on it. You know, and I think that's
great.
I think that we're at a place now where, you know, when someone walks into your bar and they order an old fashioned, you can actually be like, well, how do you like your old fashioned? You know, it's almost like kind of in the way that like martinis, like everyone has their preference on the martini. I don't want everyone to start coming in and ordering my drinks and like try to do modifications, because that's like a no-no with the chef, you know. But I think it's nice that there are options out there, you know. It's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, like an old fashioned, you know, like I have like six different tweaks with, you know, you have your aromatics, but a lot of the bitters for me, like, finish too bitter. Like, you get that flavor profile right up front, and then it gets wiped out. So I kind of tend to go more towards, like, just the straight tincture without a bitter element, because then you can just really, like, tweak it, like, with one dash or one dash of this, and the whole drink is completely layered to a different level.
See, that's... When I make bitters, I usually pull back on the bitters, you know? And I was talking with Jim Kearns about this. We were messing around with drinks one night, and, you know, we like to say, like, you know, like the not too sweet thing, because we're afraid that people are going to make it too sweet. Like, well, you know, if you're in a good bar, you shouldn't have to worry about that. But then we're talking about it, it's like, you know what? Honestly, you know, I love bitters, and I love Amari. And I definitely love Fernet, you know, things like those. But it's like, when I'm drinking a cocktail, it's like, I kind of like, we were both like, I think I actually have a sweet tooth, man. It's really weird. I think we were actually drinking a shandy. And it was like, this is delicious. We took some Einbecker Pilsner that's got a nice level of bitterness to it. It's the best Pilsner in the world, I think. But then we sweeten it and put lemon in it. It's like... I can't believe, sorry, Jim, I just outed you on it. But yeah, I agree with you. I think like putting a tincture in sometimes instead of like a bunch of bitters, I think that's a good move.
Yeah, because I think the danger I find with like a lot of cocktails is they're add that there's like two bitter components in the drink, and it wipes out all the complexity or any of the flavors you're trying to like pull out. It's like, boom, it's like it just pulls the rug out from under it. So
do you think we as a community of bartenders and people who like drinks, like the home bartender, the professional, do you think we just got like overly excited over the past 10 years because so many bitters have popped up?
Yeah, I think there's like a bitter whore like situation going on between just, I mean, obviously it went from like V's and Regan's and maybe, Bitter Truth to, I mean, you know, Jesus Christ. I mean, how much, you know, you look up right now and go to shop for bitters, it's like pop, 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 pop.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you go and actually go through and taste them all, and like how many actually have the flavor still coming out? Like you could have like the whole black pepper, you know, peppercorn with lemongrass, but it's the bitter finishes it. So the whole lemongrass peppercorn thing is wiped out, which is
what you're trying to get
to come out in the first place. So
yeah, it's interesting, man.
And then there's always that extra cordial. I think there's still like this heavy handed, the maraschino still pops up in like too many drinks.
Man, you know, that's a point of contention with a lot of bartenders. You know, the maraschino thing. God, you know, it's such a cool ingredient to use if you know how to use it, and a lot of people don't. I feel like they don't really know how to use maraschino.
I think there needs to be a certification to just be able to use it. You need to be certified to use chartreuse and maraschino. You should not be allowed to have it behind your bar.
Yeah,
I think you should institute that federation.
They actually have a certification thing on the chartreuse website where you can take a test. It's like a 10 question test. It's, and all the information is already on the website, but then you could, a PDF pops up if you pass it, and then you get to print that out with your name on it and frame it behind your bar. It's totally awesome.
No, because it's like, you'll see like, so, you know, you'll be reading a menu at like a great cocktail bar, and it'll be like, you know, whatever gin and like, you know, baby mountain strawberries and Alsatian mountain cloud air and bay leaf tincture. And then it'll be like maraschino or chartreuse. And then like, all right, if they added just too much of that, then all that other stuff is just disappeared.
Yeah.
It's just gone.
And, you know, I think there's also something to be said about, you know, simplifying your, like we were talking about before, you know, like 4-5 ingredient cocktail, you know, like the QB cooler versus the Mai Tai. It's like no one talks about the QB cooler. Talk about the Mai Tai, and it's 4 less ingredients. So it's like, come on. Let's learn some lessons here. let's learn some lessons after this break. And we'll get more into the book and what some of the features are that you put into this book. And it looks really cool, too. Like I was saying before, the show, it's like, it's a really cool, like, old-timey looking cover, but it has color photographs, which I really like.
Yeah, you gotta have photos for everything.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so we'll be back in just a moment speaking with Greg Sider.
Hey, I'm Michael Harlan Turkel, host of The Food Scene. Do you love us? Do you really? Do you count on us for real food news and content? Oh, we need your help. HeritageRadioNetwork.org is a nonprofit organization, which means we depend on underwriting, grants, and the support of members like you to keep broadcasting. Help keep our voice alive. Visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org and click the donate button today. We promise to never stop in our mission to create a world that's more sustainable, equitable, and delicious by expanding the way eaters think about food. Thanks for listening, and thanks for showing your support.
Michter's Whiskey is a proud spot. Michter's Whiskey is a proud sponsor of HeritageRadioNetwork.org. If you drink the whiskey that warmed General Washington's troops at Valley Forge, does that make you a patriot? Not necessarily, but it indicates you appreciate that Michter's sets the standard for highest quality, limited production whiskeys. America's first whiskey distilling company, Michter's rich history dates back to 1753, when a farmer in Schaeferstown, Pennsylvania, distilled his first batch of whiskey from Hardy Rye. At one point, a master distiller left his family's well-known distillery to join Michter's so he could be at a smaller, less cost-conscious company where he could make the finest whiskey, cost be damned. Ask your bartender or retailer for Michter's whiskey today. Chatham Imports is the national sales agent for Michter's Distillery. For more information, please visit www.michters.com. That's www.michters.com.
Hi, I'm Reggie Watts, and you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
And we are back. You're listening to The Speakeasy, and I've got Greg Sider of Summit Bar, the Manhattan Cricket Club, and author of Alchemy in a Glass in the studio today. And we were just talking about a little bit about the book, a lot about Summit Bar, a lot about some techniques and some ingredient choices. And I'm not going to lie to you. Over the break, we just poured one of these drinks that's actually in the cocktail book, Alchemy in a Glass. And so why don't you tell us about what we're drinking? But before you do, cheers.
That's cheers, man.
Goodness. Yeah. Yeah.
We are drinking the Lions in London, which is my South African-inspired Negroni twist.
Yeah, so very nice.
Yeah, I was in South Africa years ago and then discovered rooibos tea, and it's just amazing. This is just floral, honeyed bush, and actually started cooking with it and poaching lobster and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, I had Negronis, and it kind of was God, it's just it's the extra bitter. It's just I can't really drink more than one of them. I'd be well, how can I mellow this out? And I'm shit, yeah, rooibos, I'll infuse the gin. I'll fuse the gin with the rooibos tea, so it gives it that, you know, same kind of flavor profiles to mellow out the bitter element. But I like to switch out this new, which we were drinking before, is a Cappelletti. So it's kind of like if Aperol, Antica Formula, and Campari had like a three-way, and the best qualities of all of them came out. So when you're tasting it, right, you really get that tea really comes out. So
I love rooibos tea. It's my favorite tea.
Plus, the antioxidant quality alone is worth drinking it.
Huge. So. Huge. Yeah, I usually have it with I'll put a tiny bit of cream and then cinnamon syrup. It's such a good combo, man. So good. And then, you know, of course, throw some sort of booze in there. But just when I'm drinking tea, that's how I do it. But I love rooibos tea. And this is a really great way of really highlighting the tea with some other really great flavors, you know. And this recipe is actually in the book.
Yeah, this is like, so the book's broken up into the classics and then the alchemists. So the classics are what I felt like was like the 25, you know, best produced classic cocktails, but reinterpreted like in, you know, the proportions I thought made the flavors come out the best, made it like the most palatable and enjoyable. And then the alchemist cocktails are all like the crazy, freaky travel genius spices, smoked tea nettle. But like how it can be simple, like you're saying, it's like it's not a complicated thing when I really, you know, delve into like where you can source out the ingredients. So it's like, all right, a lot of the stuff could be in your cupboard. Like a lot of these spices and like fennel and cinnamon and...
I think it's actually fun just to look around. I do it at home all the time. I'll like look around my spice cabinet. I'm like, wait a minute, where the? Oh, I got this weird like chili powder from Fredericksburg, Texas, when I was going to Luckenbach, you know. And it's like I stopped in this little general store, and they're like, this is our like chili mix powder. And then I made some margaritas, you know, another simple drink. And then rimmed it with that. It was awesome. It was because I just took a second longer to look in my spice cabinet and look around. And I think that's really true what you're saying. It's like a lot of these, most times, like a lot of the ingredients you probably already have at home.
Yeah, so that's why like in the book, it's a lot of the recipes, but actually how if you want to go into the tinctures and the infusions, I break down how to create all the flavors. So if you have that kind of ambition, then... It's totally broken down in the book, so you can just make it ahead of time, have it in the fridge, and I mean, it lasts for months. So you could just, you know, pull out your, like, you know, smoked jalapeno, you know, pineapple syrup, and you already have your tequila and lime juice ready to go, and you're like, boom.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, Bob's your uncle.
Yeah. And it's awesome when you're having, like, a dinner party or a cookout, you know, especially now when it's summertime, finally. When you're having that cookout to break out something that's, like, a little bit more than just, you know, a bottle of rosé or a six-pack of Bud, you know.
There's no excuses but, not to make a great drink.
Yeah.
There's no excuses.
And, you know, like, I feel like those are very impressive things for your, you know, as bartenders and as people, as, you know, having, like, a dinner party or a cookout. You're the host, man. You gotta throw some fucking zazz in there, man.
Yeah, I think like that's like the thing with me is trying to teach people how to taste. Like we can just start off with a margarita or an old fashioned, and we should take this challenge, you and I, and we'll just go around and just order those drinks around the city, and just how few times they like actually come out right. Like them are one of the most original cocktails, and then just the margarita. But there's like the sugar makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm. Like for me, I tend to use like organic agave just because it's like natural from the same plant. But just for me, like the effect, the physiological effect of like the glycemic dizziness, like if I have a margarita with simple syrup, I am like on my ass. Like I just, it just, the sugar just rocks me. So like, you know, really making sure like if you can find like the healthiest sugar possible to make the drink. But yeah, and sort of like really kind of like I teach my bartenders like, all right, like taste. Like you have to like know what the freshest of the fresh is. Like, so when I grew up, like I grew up in Rhode Island and I had this crazy, like amazing garden my father and mother built. So I had like apple trees, peach trees, grapevines, berries, you know, every single kind of vegetable. So like when I was a little kid, I only knew what the freshest of the fresh was. So if I tasted anything lower than that, I'm like, this is bullshit. There's no way. So trying to bring that understanding on like, you know, training your other bar guys, like you gotta like, no, really, what's the taste like? You gotta get your palate. Like, you gotta get your palate, because then you would never like over layer a drink like we were talking about before with like, you know, an extra bitter or an extra cordial. Like you'd be like, all right, no, that's too much. Like stop there. Like if you can't taste every ingredient you're listing on the menu, you gotta stop. So
yeah. That's true. I feel the same way. That's why I love tiki drinks, but a lot of times it's like, You know, I think the trick with tiki drinks is like actually making a bigger flavor than all of the other flavors, you know? And but you don't necessarily taste every ingredient, and that kind of bums me out. Because I like having a Manhattan because I like the rye, I love vermouth, and I like a little bitters in it, you know? But it's like, that's, to me, like a perfect experience, you know, when you can taste, like you just said, like when you taste all the ingredients. And I really appreciate the fact that you grew up with a garden like that. I grew up on a farm, and we had a garden, and we didn't have a lot of fruits, but, like, I remember pulling, like, snapping asparagus off, you know, and tasting it immediately, and, like, pulling radishes out of the ground and tasting them. And it's like, when you know what it tastes like when it's, like, just, like, still alive in your hand, basically, that's huge, man. That's huge. And then, like, but it kind of ruins the experience for you the rest of the time, you know?
Like, you got to find the farmer's markets. Right? Yeah, it's totally tough. It's tough if you're...
Well, like, right now, there's, like, TriStar strawberries, you know? It's like, you know, got to taste the TriStar strawberries. That's hard to get out. Taste the TriStar strawberries. Because you're like, whoa, this is like a huge flavor bomb. Oh, you yeah. know, then, like the best.
Yeah, and then if you get out west, it's like a whole nother ballgame. Like my drinks, yeah. you know, when I do consulting jobs, out on the West Coast, the citrus and the flavors are completely different. So the exact yeah. same cocktail has oh, to yeah. be readjusted. Like if you have like a Chandler strawberry mm-hmm. from like Santa Barbara, it is like insane. Like I made a cocktail out there. They have this really cool gin called Refine, which they make off the runoff of all the grapes. So the cocktail was like gin, soda, and I just squeezed this one strawberry, but it's such like... insane flavor. Like that was it. I was done. It's like that's so easy.
That's awesome, man. It's great when you get that much joy out of something so simple. Yeah. I think there's a lot to be said about that, you know. There's and you know, drinking seasonally is like a huge deal too. You know, we don't always do that in New York City. I mean, that's another thing, like you're saying, like, taste everything. It's like, all right, let's taste it now, and let's taste it when it's actually in season. Like let's, you know, when we're getting lemons from, like, Chile, or when, you know, the rest of the season, we're, like, getting them from, like, Florida or California. It's like, taste that lemon, you know? But, like, when it's, like, peak season, let's try that. But I think there's also, that. Like, I had a guy come in last night and order a Manhattan. And he was like, yeah, I'm just real thirsty. It's so hot out there. And I'm like, dude, have a gin and tonic, man. We have limes again, you know? We couldn't afford limes there for like a month and a half, you know? It's like, let's do this right. But, and again, that's just me being an old man.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm going to have to drag you uptown now to the new place, though.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit more about that.
So, yeah, I opened like Manhattan Cricket Club up... It's up on West 79th Street, across from the Dublin House, which apparently a lot of people drank underage there, a lot of my clients.
Yeah?
But it's upstairs above the restaurant Burke and Wills, and it's this beautiful design. My partner, Jeremy Kittredge, like recreated like brand new 1870s. So it's like Gatsby meets Melbourne Cricket Club. My partner's Australian, so kind of has that whole tufted leather... maple coffered ceiling, antique mirror, like beautiful, nice. Like sandstone, you know, show bar. So it's a one bedroom apartment. So all the other apartments in there are literally one bedroom. So it has this beautiful boutique feel, and it's like 38 seats. And it's like, where do adults go these days? Like, where do we go?
Yeah.
I want to have a cool time. It's a beautiful space, but it's only reservation. So it's like everyone has their own seat. So even if it's the weekend, it can only be so busy, but it's, you know, got the great vibe on top of it. So, you know, we're doing amazing, like, cocktails. But, like, I'm, you know, simplifying it, like, with, you know, just really getting into the sources, you know, from the teas and the spices and doing some little beautiful bites of food and just kind of curating some cool different cultured nights. Like, we did a cool little Yamazaki. Gardner Dunn was, you know, carving up some ice balls. We had a little Japanese jazz night and did the whole tasting. And it gives you like a platform to, like, you know, I do all my alchemy sessions. So I do all these, you know, kind of teach how to do what I do in the book up there. But it's like, it gives you the opportunity to like sit and have some beautiful cocktails or champagne or wine and like have a conversation with good friends. And like, I feel that's really few and far between.
Yeah.
On where do we go to find that outside of creating it in your own house or apartment?
I mean, you're
trying to bring the adults, the cool adults back out, bring them back out in the mix.
Yeah. I mean, you got me convinced. I'll definitely, I mean, I'd go after this, but I don't think I'm dressed appropriately.
That's right. I got a jacket in the closet. All right, we'll just throw a bathrobe on you. I know you like to be comfortable.
Yeah, that's true. that time it tells where I was walking around the street in the bathrobe. Yeah, that was. I think a lot of people still remind me of that, but I was really comfy. So I think that's. It sounds like the kind of place I would open if I were opening a place right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you got in a fight with your girl and you need to bring her up and make up with her, I'll sort you out.
It's cool, like, man.
We'll take care
cool.
of it. But, I mean, the book's out. I think it's, like, amazing for, like, people aspiring, you know, to learn this stuff. Or, like, it's a great industry book and it's, it's out everywhere. Anyone that wants me to sign a copy, bring it up to the Summit or Manhattan Cricket Club, and
I got my pin right here.
We're ready to go.
Yeah, so definitely go check out Greg at Summit at Manhattan Cricket Club, and definitely pick up a copy of Alchemy in a Glass by Greg Sider, The Essential Guide to Handcrafted Cocktails. It's a great book. I can't wait to crack it open and get into it. Thank you so much for being on the show today. Thanks for bringing a drink.
That's hey, thanks for having air conditioning.
Yeah, absolutely. And definitely swing back into the studio anytime you feel like it. We'd love to have you back.
I'd love to be back, D.
Awesome. Well, that's it for the Speakeasy this week. Check in to Heritage Radio for many, many awesome shows. And be sure to go to click donate to help us out, because we want to keep bringing you awesome people like Greg Sider and more information about all the things we love about food and beverage. We'll see you next week. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.